Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome each to this part of the service. Trust you had a good Sunday school. We don't get very far in our lesson, and it's just there's so much there. I would tell the superintendent to slow down, but I know some of you are probably telling him to speed up, so it causes a dilemma. This morning I'd like to think a little bit of God's strange arithmetic. Borrowed that comment from one of the literature books that I read, and had some very, very interesting insights into God's way of looking at equality. And we saw that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Jesus was able to take two loaves, two fishes, and five loaves, and not you ladies' loaves of bread, where they're this big, but probably just a little, maybe a little bigger than a biscuit. And it doesn't really matter. That's irrelevant what size it was. But Jesus was able to take those and feed thousands and have a lot more left over at the end than what he had at the beginning. And so that's just one way that God can take a little and make a lot. But I'd like to begin with this little story in Mark 12, verse 41, where Jesus was observing people giving to the treasury. In Mark 12, verse 41, it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they that have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all the living that she had." Excuse me, did cast in even all her living. You know, Jesus has a way of drawing lessons out of the normal things of life. And here he was just watching people cast money into the treasury. Then he made this startling evaluation of this person. Here comes a person that had two mites, and it says it was worth a farthing. Another place he says a farthing, two sparrows are sold for a farthing, so that would be kind of the value there. I don't know how many of you would go buy sparrows, but probably none of us would. But there he said that's the value of two mites. A farthing can buy two sparrows. And then he makes this comment that she cast in more than they all. And how does he figure? You know, there were rich men there that cast in a lot. But what can you see in common with Jesus saying that this was more, and with the little boy that gave his lunch this morning in our Sunday school lesson? What is the common thread there that Jesus would say it's worth more? I think he gave them all they had. And that was the common thread. And that thread runs true even to today. That is, that's still true. If we would look at another, and I won't read it, but it's coming up in our Sunday school in Matthew 20. We have the story there of the person that went out to hire people to work in his vineyard, and he had some that worked all day and some that worked part of a day and some that worked only 1 hour. And then he gave them all their pay. And we see God's strange arithmetic at work there again, too, where he made them all equal. He gave them all the same amount. And I know there's a number of different observations that can be made from that. But the thing that I have to think about is that all of them worked from the time that they were called until the evening. Whatever time it was, he went out in the morning, got some, that he asked them to work in his vineyard. I don't think he left others standing there. I think he took what was there, but that's simply my thought. It's not what the Bible says. He says he went there in the morning. He went at the ninth hour. He went different times through the day, and he brought those people. They worked in his vineyard, and he gave them all a penny at the end of the day, which is equivalent of a day's wages. And so he made them equal there in that. But I think the most significant thing that we can see for our time is in Hebrews chapter 11, and reading the last part of Hebrews 11, where it says in verse 32, after he gives the list of the heroes of faith there and gives the story of some of them, in verse 32 it says, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." I think this is one of the most incredible things that we can have in Scripture, is that God is even now making those Christians of the New Covenant on the basis with those that were listed here as a hero of faith. But the requirements are still the same. It takes all. And we are living in a very blessed time by anybody's standard. But the requirements for his blessing is going to be a full surrender, and it's still something that can be done today. So it's really significant that he says in the last part of this verse, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete or whole or entire." So I think that's written to us today that are living in this age, that we're all a part of God's kingdom. That way, for those that give their all, just like the widow did, just like those that were called to work in the vineyard, need to go when they're called, be faithful to the end. And so I think that's, we can trust God to do the right when we give him our all. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Dear Lord, as we bow before you, we want to thank you for your mercies and your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your freedom that we can come together to worship you and to have your word so freely among us here. Help us to make it a part of our life and be faithful in all areas here. Bless Brother Joseph as he brings that word to us this morning. May it bring forth the fruit in our